Hi there, my name is Sophie B. Hawkins, and I'm going to be reading an original writing for This Way Out, and then I'm going to read Mrs. Dalloway, a little part from it. I had a romantic vision of love between women that was not at all pornographic. I was just too young. I never wanted to be a lesbian like the ones in her book. 10 years later, 10 lifetimes in a child's existence, I opened those shocking pages.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Brian DeShazer. More than 100 patrons are roughly arrested in an Azerbaijan gay bar raid. 10 transphobes in France are convicted of cyberbullying First Lady Brigitte Macron, and singer-songwriter Sophie B. Hawkins reads from an original work and from Virginia Woolf's Mrs. Dalloway. All that and more this week, now that you found This Way Out.
I'm Red.
And I'm Marcos Nájera.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the 3 weeks ending January 10th, 2026. In the socially conservative nation of Azerbaijan, a fun night out turned sour for more than 100 people during a police raid on Labyrinth, a gay night spot in the capital city of Baku. Azerbaijan is a former Soviet satellite state at the crossroads of Western Asia and Eastern Europe, where LGBTQ people have few legal protections. According to local queer media, 106 patrons were detained by police on December 27th for more than 12 hours outside the building in frigid weather, some without proper clothing for extended periods in the cold, and all without access to water, toilet breaks, or the ability to make phone calls to friends or loved ones. Many suffered extended verbal abuse while in custody. Police officials allegedly tried to bribe some to gain their release and to coerce others into providing information about queer friends and associates. Even though private consensual adult same-gender sex has been legal in Azerbaijan since 2000, LGBTQ people have no protections from discrimination or abuse in a mostly Muslim nation. This was not the first anti-queer action in the country. More than 100 people who were suspected of being LGBTQ were rounded up by police in 2017 in what Amnesty International called a deliberate attempt to intimidate. Human rights groups in Azerbaijan and around the world have quickly condemned the latest horrific police action. The European chapter of the global queer advocacy organization ILGA echoed local groups who are calling for a full investigation by the Ministry of Internal Affairs into the raid and derogatory comments made by some local officials, adding that human rights and dignity must be upheld for everyone in Azerbaijan.
A court in Paris convicted 10 people on January 5th of cyberbullying French First Lady Brigitte Macron by falsely claiming that she is transgender. One repeat offender was sentenced to 6 months in jail. Delphine Jegus, also known as Amandine Roy, was ordered to compensate Mrs. Macron in 2024, the equivalent of $8,900 over a YouTube video claiming that Brigitte was in fact her brother, Jean-Michel Trognon, who had transitioned. Another unnamed defendant also reportedly faces 6 months behind bars. He is a man who failed to attend the hearing. The other 8 defendants were given suspended sentences of 4 to 8 months. All were ordered to attend cyberbullying awareness training and to pay the equivalent of about $11,700 in damages to Macron for their particularly degrading, insulting, and malicious claims. Many of the defendants' social media accounts were also suspended for up to 6 months. Far-right U.S. commentator Candace Owens parroted the online French transphobia in her own social media posts. The Macrons filed suit against her in July.
A U.S. federal judge based in San Diego, California, ruled on December 22nd that teachers may be allowed or required to disclose the status of transgender students to their parents. District Judge Roger Benitez ruled that federal law allows school officials to notify parents of gender incongruity. The judge's order also prohibits employees from directly lying to the parent, preventing the parent from accessing educational records of the child, or using a different set of preferred pronouns, names, when speaking with the parents than is being used at the school. Two self-identified Christian teachers at Rincon Middle School challenged the policy of the Escondido Union School District that requires them to respect the chosen names and pronouns of their trans students and to maintain their privacy unless the student consents to the outing or if their physical or mental health is in peril. Judge Benitez granted the plaintiffs a temporary injunction in 2023, blocking enforcement of those policies while the case was being argued. California Attorney General Rob Bonta immediately appealed the ruling and requested a temporary injunction to block its enforcement.
A different U.S. federal judge has sided with a devout Christian father who demanded that he be allowed to prevent his child from learning about LGBTQ people in his kindergarten classroom. Alan L. sued Joseph Estabrook Elementary School in Lexington, Massachusetts in October last year after learning that its curriculum included educational materials that contradict his family's faith by normalizing and celebrating LGBTQ plus relationships and identities. Boston-based federal judge F. Dennis Saylor IV ordered the school district on December 30th to make reasonable efforts to ensure parents can opt their children out of that information. He admitted that such material could include books that many parents find appropriate or innocuous, such as those simply depicting gay and lesbian couples with children. Attorneys representing Lexington Public Schools announced that they'll appeal the ruling and ask for a temporary injunction blocking its enforcement, arguing that the mere existence of LGBTQ people was not enough to justify blocking young students from learning about them. In their words, schools are burdened enough without having to scour the pages of a storybook for potentially gay-appearing characters. At what point, for instance, is a character's hair cut too short to presume they are a woman? Are two men sitting together at a restaurant presumed to be gay, or might they just be friends? There are innumerable scenarios like these, and schools are now being forced to make near impossible judgments.
The supposedly liberal state of Massachusetts has revoked a policy requiring potential foster parents to support LGBTQ people in their care. State officials bowed to pressure from two lawsuits filed by devoutly Christian foster care applicants who refused to sign an agreement to support LGBTQ kids in their care, and threats by the Trump administration. President Donald Trump issued an executive order in November 2025 that told Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to take appropriate action to address state and local policies and practices that inappropriately prohibit participation in federally funded child welfare programs by qualified individuals or organizations based upon their sincerely held religious beliefs or moral convictions. The State Department of Children and Families replaced the policy in late December with a more innocuous statement that foster parents must support the child's individual identity and needs.
Finally, the Trump administration calls her a highly paid agitator and a domestic terrorist. In fact, Renee Nicole Good was a peace-loving 37-year-old lesbian mother and wife living in Minneapolis, Minnesota, who was shot and killed on January 7th by an agent from U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement as she attempted to move her vehicle, as ordered by other agents. Whistles, commonly used to alert neighborhoods that they were being invaded by ICE agents, drew her and her wife, Becca, to the scene. Several videos documenting the shooting refute claims led by Vice President J.D. Vance, Homeland Secretary Kristi Noem, and President Trump that the agent, identified as Jonathan Ross, feared for his life and acted in self-defense when he fired three bullets point blank through the open driver's side window of Good's car. In video taken by Ross himself, it appears to be his voice after he fired the shots calling Good an effing bitch. According to press reports, Ross is a conservative Christian and Trump supporter. Good had been living in Minneapolis with her wife, Becca, whom she married in 2012, her six-year-old son, and their dog, who was in the back seat of the vehicle. The killing of Good by an ICE agent has prompted peaceful protests in Minneapolis and across the United States. Her wife, Becca, issued a statement through Minnesota Public Radio on January 9th that said, in part, Renee lived by an overarching belief. There is kindness in the world, and we need to do everything we can to find it where it resides and nurture it where it needs to grow. Renee was a Christian who knew that all religions teach the same essential truth. We are here to love each other, care for each other, and keep each other safe and whole. We are raising our son to believe that no matter where you come from or what you look like, all of us deserve compassion and kindness. Renee lived this belief every day. She is pure love. She is pure joy. She is pure sunshine. On Wednesday, January 7th, we stopped to support our neighbors. We had whistles. They had guns.
That's NewsWrap, Global Queer News with Attitude, for the 3 weeks ending January 10th, 2026. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is written by Greg Gordon and Tanya Kane Perry, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Thank you. Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more. For This Way Out, I'm Rhett. Stay healthy.
And I'm Marcos Najera. Stay safe.
I heard what you said. I'm not stupid, you know. What do you take me for, hetero? The next time you say it, make sure I can't hear, because you're pissing me off. Is that clear?
What did he say?
He said that's okay.
Hi, this is Chris Freeman from Pansy Division. You've been listening to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine.
Our listeners support This Way Out in many ways.
By subscribing to our e-newsletter.
Email us at info@thiswayout.org.
And through your financial contributions to our program.
More information about how you can give is online at thiswayout.org.
Thank you.
Sophie B. Hawkins is a U.S.-born singer-songwriter whose commercial success has been matched by her passionate advocacy for animal rights and the equality of women and the queer community. In 1925, Virginia Woolf introduced the world to Mrs. Dalloway, a groundbreaking novel that explores a single day in the life of an upper-class woman in post-World War I England. With its innovative stream-of-consciousness narrative, Mrs. Dalloway remains a landmark in modernist literature. In 2020, Sophie B. Hawkins joined This Way Out in a global queer read-in, and now the voices of both of these women-loving women are blooming in full force, each in her own right, shaping the world around them with art, advocacy, and a commitment to speaking truth to power.
Hi there, my name is Sophie B. Hawkins, and I'm going to be reading an original writing for This Way Out, and then I'm going to read Mrs. Dalloway, a little part from it. This is called Not Beating Around the Bush. My mother's book represented a time when I hoped she would leave my father for her female lover, when I empathized more with her breakaway than his need for her. That would have made me feel guilty because I had an equal and opposite need to take care of my father, rejected as he was by my mother. The book meant herself, the work she had been doing doggedly for incalculable years. Fueled by pain, humbled by self-discovery, the pages were seared like moth wings by fame's fire. Underwater was published in 1974. I knew the day it was going to happen. Eating peanut butter and jelly in front of Lost in Space, I knew, even before she got to the door, that she would burst in and say, "They're publishing my book!" It was the happiest day of my childhood life. I had watched my mother open envelopes from publishing houses for years, cry over rejections, bellow in hungover rants at the kitchen table, and rip the New York Times in a jealous rage about the best-selling author. And then I watched her go to work for 5 hours every day. She was answerable to no one, certainly not one of her children. But I understood without question why. Soon came the time she wanted me to read it, that craving she had for recognition. I was too young, though the correct age to groom a child to be your champion is never. The love scenes were ribald, raw, realistic. I was disgusted. I wasn't yet in puberty, and I did know more about sex than I should have, but the positions of my mother's female characters assaulted the friendships I imagined were her own love affairs. I had a romantic vision of love between women that was not at all pornographic. I was just too young. I never wanted to be a lesbian like the ones in her book. I never wanted to be a lesbian. 10 years later, 10 lifetimes in a child's existence, I opened those shocking pages. Was I now willing to associate being with a woman as a privilege rather than a sentence? Or was I high on the freedom of not looking for approval from the man who had the power to destroy me? Maybe going to my mother's book as a how-to for lesbian sex when Michelle finally got me to bed at age 20 was just going straight to it, straight to the source, not beating around the bush. Michelle approached me at the bar on 125th Street and Broadway, having watched my set with the Pink Men, a trio in which I played drums. I felt at once, she recognizes me, and she is mistaken. I had just left a 6-year relationship with my drum teacher. I was a percussion major at the Manhattan School of Music, and I was writing songs that I sang from behind my orange drum set. "We're giving her singing lessons," Del Pedro, the band leader, would toot as he introduced me. I was relieved, actually, that he set the bar so low. I didn't intend to be a singer, and I believed my songs could carry me, regardless of my voice. "I like your songs," Michelle said, "a tall tree and me, a blade of grass." I bowed my head in the shadow of her magnificent branches. I would have to tell her I don't have time to talk, not because she was so intimidating, but because I had relinquished small talk when I was 14, reading Virginia Woolf. And I realized I had to become an artist, and my path was music. At that age, I threw my voluminous eggs into the basket of African drums and the man who had become my teacher. Now I had left him on his knees, which felt like tearing half my body off, ripping my soul in two. I had thought I'd love him and only him until I died. I couldn't imagine parting from this man, and when I did, it's because I was dying. I had grown as much as I could grow, and I was withering in that soil. I had taken all I could take, given all I could give, become all I wanted to become under his wing, a jazz vibraphonist, an African drummer, a classical percussion student, a child woman, and a gray ghost. I looked in his mirror and saw a dead girl who existed only in notes and strokes. I had lost my wind. My throat had collapsed. I fled. Michelle sat down. "Really, your songs are great," she said. "She thinks I like women because I play the drums." I thought, I have to tell her I don't. And I have to get back on stage behind my drum set. She told me she was an English lit major at Barnard, dexterously inveigling herself into my mind as the writer from Boston. She got my number. I knew she was gay, or pretending to be. I knew she liked my pink sweatpants, my t-shirt, my independence. I knew she'd call, but I hoped she wouldn't. Relentlessly, she called. I took a walk with her in Central Park, found out she loved Whitney Houston, had lots of friends her age, took her sanity for granted, couldn't listen to anything over a minute and a half, and wanted to hold my hand. I wouldn't let her. I wasn't sure I liked her. She was so young, 18, and so full of herself, or the idea of herself, which was impressive, though not compelling. She did have amazing eyes, brown stones that squinted at the horizon, glistening beneath a receding ocean wave. But she wasn't funny. I'm not a lesbian, I told her over the phone. It was true, I had never been with a woman, and the thought of being with a woman brought back a rash of humiliating images from my mother's book. Those tortured characters, or was it my mother? Shame, guilt, but also courage, exploration, excruciating vulnerability. Nope, I'm not a lesbian, I said. As I hung up the phone, I heard a faint, I love you. What? Did she say she loved me? Hold on, did she mean that? Did she even say it? I had already hung up. I sat in the hallway between rooms wrapped in a red phone cord. I was between times, between lives. Did a woman just say she loved me? It was gone. I heard the faint echo of her voice, which I realized I hadn't recorded in my mind until now. I rejected her, and I was lost. Michelle sat next to me on the couch, telling me she was leaving for Paris to model. What a relief she'll be gone, I thought. I've come this far, but the road is closed, and I can return to my drums and my songs and my cozy release from the ancient lover who robbed 6 years of my childhood. Suddenly, she pushed me down my back. I felt two soft boobs on mine. What the hell was going on? Her languid torso and limbs completely covered me without trapping me. Hot springs on a cool night. She knew how good she felt as her whole being articulated something so profoundly deep for a female. Love this. Her gene pool said, enjoy this. Two boobs on mine, soft and alive. A sensual pressing into me, exploring but no focus on a penis, rather a spread-out stimulation. All cells had taste buds, no end, no beginning, an environment of luxurious lasting, like swimming in water from another planet. I was bathing in pleasure. I don't remember her kissing me, and probably that's because I wouldn't go that far. Kissing is for love. By the time I opened my mother's book for research on the edge of the bed, we were both unsure and terrified. Or perhaps she had become squeamish, as I had, when I was a child. She left for Paris. I remember thinking I was going to write really great songs now. A lock had been broken. I wanted to know how I really felt, beyond need, beyond striving. At 20 years old, I realized that gender is a tool, and if you throw out the manual, it can be used to make so many experiences and connections. My African drum teacher was a man, a much older man, but he was also the mother I was looking for at times. Michelle was a teenage boy, in her way, playing at everything, intending no harm. The perfect person doesn't exist, except in fantasy. And on TV, Gentleman Jack comes to mind. The creation of over two centuries' work and three brilliant women, Ann Lister, Sally Wainwright, and Saran Jones, not to mention the women behind the women, Helena Whitbread et al. The work never ends. The love never ends. It just gets deeper. At 14, sitting on a rock in Riverside Park, reading To the Lighthouse, Virginia Woolf inveigled herself into my destiny. I coined the word omnisexual in a 1992 article in the New York Times while describing my sexuality to John Pareles because he asked. Your gender doesn't define my sexuality, I explained. We are creative beings, and I reserve the right to evolve my whole life. Love the person, explore the gender. Love the gender, explore the person. Years later, Nicole Kidman used the word omnisexual to describe Virginia Woolf while shooting Michael Cunningham's The Hours, based on Mrs. Dalloway. My brilliant, tortured mother created me, and beautiful, benign Michelle freed me from my mother's shame. Now, I'd like to read a passage from Mrs. Dalloway by Virginia Woolf, because, Dad, I wish I was her lover. Yet, she could not resist sometimes yielding to the charm of a woman, not a girl, of a woman confessing, as to her they often did, some scrape, some folly. And whether it was pity, whether beauty, or that she was older, or some accident like a faint set, or a violin next door, so strange is the power of sounds at certain moments, she did undoubtedly feel what men felt, only for a moment, but it was enough. It was a sudden revelation, a tinge like a blush, which one tried to check, and then, as it spread, one yielded to its expansion and rushed to the farthest verge, and there quivered and felt the world come closer, swollen with some astonishing significance, some pressure of rapture, which split its skin and gushed and poured with an extraordinary alleviation over the cracks and sores. Then, for that moment, she had seen an illumination, a match burning in a crocus, an inner meaning almost expressed. But the clothes withdrew. The heart softened. It was over. The moment.
That was singer-songwriter Sophie B. Hawkins reading from Virginia Woolf's Mrs. Dalloway and from her original work, Not Beating Around the Bush. To enjoy other readings of note by people of note, click on Global Queer Read-In via the Explore tab at thiswayout.org. Thanks for discovering This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. News Wrap was reported this week by Rhett and Marcos Najera. You heard music by Joe Walsh and Sophie B. Hawkins. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks Harry Richardson of Socorro, New Mexico, Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley celebrating their 50th year together, and all the listener donors who make this program possible. Ask us about how you can join them. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email us at info@thiswayout.org, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon, associate producer Lucia Chappell, and the entire This Way Out crew, I'm Brian DeShazer. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org or wherever you get your podcasts. And on 2MTM Kuanable, New South Wales, KPNW Bellingham, Washington, KRFP Moscow, Idaho, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned.